What's up, everybody? Welcome to the TNT Wellness and Nutrition Podcast. I'm Thomas.
I'm Tyson.
I studied exercise physiology and competed in many various sports ranging from wrestling to ultra running. I use that knowledge to combine today's science with ancient wisdom to live an optimal lifestyle and to spread that information onto the masses.
I'm a lifelong weightlifter and I'm obsessed with health and wellness. My degree in biology, with an emphasis in neurobiology, physiology, and behavior, allows me to take a deep dive into the most current literature and bring that information to you.
Thank you for listening to the podcast. If you'd like to show your support, please rate and review on your favorite podcast provider, Apple Podcasts, Google Play, or SoundCloud. Also, sign up on our website, tntwellnessandnutrition.com, for all of our up-to-date content.
Let's get this started.
What's up, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of TNT Wellness and Nutrition Podcast. This is episode 138, and today we're continuing our series on the caveman diet, providing as much evidence as possible that humans should be classified as facultative carnivores, and we should be getting the bulk of our nutrition from animal sources. So last week we talked about defining omnivore versus carnivore, so go back and listen to that. It may seem like we're kind of nitpicking, but really knowing these terms and the true definition of them does matter. And this week I wanted to talk about benefits of being a carnivore and then just the evidence that shows we evolved eating a lot of meat. And the first thing I want to talk about is simply acquiring calories. We don't think about that too much today, because most of us have it very super easy on acquiring calories, and really it's too much. Just look around, we're all eating way too much of all the wrong things. But
yeah, you can go get like a Big Mac combo for like $5, which is gonna have, I don't know, what, close to 2,000 calories if you include like your large soda with that.
Oh yeah, easy. I would bet even more than that if you get like a large fry, all that stuff with it. Yeah, but a million years ago, acquiring calories, and especially enough to survive and thrive, was our top priority. If we didn't focus on that, our species would have died out. And compared to plants, animal source calories are generally acquired more efficiently. So carnivores spend less time feeding than similar sized herbivores. For example, baboons devote almost all their daylight hours to feeding, while adult hads and men spend only a third of their day in food acquisition, preparation, and feeding. And that's kind of that's a modern example of a hunter-gatherer society. And you can think of like baboons, think of gorillas as well. They basically graze all day. Think of cows, they have to eat all day. Just humans, we don't have to do that because we don't get our food primarily from plants. Or at least, you know, we shouldn't, in my opinion. Like, humans are not designed to snack. That's something me and Tom have talked about a lot. Like, don't eat continuously all day. We're just not designed to do that.
Yeah, and you said a third of the day in food acquisition. That's not feeding. That's looking for food. Preparation, that's like getting it, you know, skinning the animal and cutting it up, cooking it, whatever that means. And then feeding. So feeding is only one part of that, and it's probably the smallest part in that whole equation. So it's not even like most of our daylight hours. It's a very, very small percentage of our daylight hours actually go to feeding.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that gives us time to do a million other things. And humans are innately social creatures. It designed, helped us grow our brains even more. So yeah, spending only a third of our day doing these things gave us time to do everything else. And in nature, at least for humans, plant source calories cost 10 times the price of meat if it is available. And really, for most of our evolution, meat was always available. In particular, large animals are the highest ranking food to acquire. And according to the classic optimal forage theory, an animal would specialize in this highest ranking type if the encounter rate is high enough. And if you apply this to humans, it means that they should have specialized in large prey if the encounter rate was high enough. And our access to large herbivores was high enough during the Ice Age. They were everywhere. If you ever search the term megafauna, you'll see what I'm talking about. I'm talking about woolly mammoths. I'm talking about basically prehistoric cows that were 10 times bigger and 10 times more, I guess, numerous. They were everywhere.
If it was big, fat, and slow, we hunted it.
Yeah, and we killed it. I don't care. Yeah, exactly. We were just really good at that. And the thing is, and Tom makes this argument a million times, that's just not true for edible plants. Like, seasonal fluctuations in many plant species hinder their reliability as a food source. Like, can you talk about that? That just seems like it's such an obvious thing, but either most vegetarians, most vegans never connect those dots.
Yeah, if you're, you know, out walking the trails, like right now, let's say it's like late August, you'll walk past like a blackberry bush, you'll see it. Our ancestors would have stopped at that bush, picked up all those berries, and ate them. But if you walk past that same bush, let's say in January, there's not going to be any berries there. So they're not going to be able to eat from that plant. So, I mean, that's just kind of like what's going on there. It's like, oh, yeah, you know, late summer, I can get these plants. January, February, not really.
Yeah, exactly. And that's true today. That was true back then for most of our evolution. That's just how plants are. But in contrast, animals are always available. They may get skinnier or fatter depending on the season, but they are always available. And carnivory, therefore, would have been a more time-efficient and reliable caloric source. And this is important for humans, specifically, because human brains are over 3 times larger than other primate brains. And because of this, we need a diet that is very energy dense. And if you don't know, remember, the most calorie-dense food out there is fats. So we can't get enough energy just from plants alone. And that's really because, like, most herbivores, which are just animals designed to eat plants, extract a lot of their energy from plants via fermentation. So the fibrous parts of plants ferment in animals' large intestines, and this fermentation yields fatty acids that the animal then burns for fuel. But humans can't do this. Like, we can't get enough calories from fermenting fiber into fat. The most generous estimates from human and animal data suggest that well below 10% of total calories needed from humans can be met through fermentation, but most likely it's well below 4%. And that's because our guts are designed to eat meat. But other herbivores, like gorillas, their guts are designed completely different. So gorillas extract 60% of its energy from fiber. The fruits that chimps consume are also very fibrous. So people think these chimps get most of their energy from sugar, from, like, say, bananas. They eat bananas. Actually, I don't think in nature they do eat bananas, but whatever fruit they do eat. But actually, in reality, they get a lot of the energy. The bulk of the energy is from fat. The fat's not from the food, the fat is from their fermenting the fibrous parts of these animals. Basically, we just aren't good at fermenting fiber. And we see these vegan arguments all the time, like, hey, gorillas are strong and they only eat plants, like, we can eat plants and be just as big and strong as gorillas. But this shows just a complete ignorance of human physiology. Like, our guts, like I said, are designed to eat meat. And we've talked about this, I think, in the Game Changers episode. What, there was like a vegan weightlifter who said something like, eat like a bull or something like that. What was it?
No, it's like, to be as strong as an ox, you need to eat like an ox.
Yes, that's what it was. And that's just, it just shows, like I said, a complete ignorance of basic human physiology. Like, you just have never read a book in your life or never, don't know anything about human biology.
And what would be a lot more accurate is to say, you need to eat fat. Because even though that these herbivores aren't eating fat, their gut microbiome is changing that fiber into fat. So while they're not consuming fat directly, their bodies are still able to produce all that fat, and that's what their bodies are running off of, is fat.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Even herbivores run primarily off of fats, and nobody ever talks about that, but it's just true. And humans cannot ferment well because we have very small colons, yet we have very long small intestines. So the human colon shrunk by 77%. Over our evolution. And have you ever heard the saying, use it or lose it? That's basically what happens with evolution. We didn't use the colon for fermenting because we didn't have to. We got most of our energy from energy-dense animal sources. Therefore, over time, we slowly decreased the size of our colons because we didn't need it. But the elongated small intestine is where sugars, proteins, and fats are absorbed. And sugars are absorbed faster in the small intestines than proteins and fats. Thus, increasing protein and fat consumption should have placed a higher selective pressure on increasing small intestine length. A long small intestine relative to other parts is also a dominant morphological pattern in carnivore guts. And that is such a key little detail that no one ever talks about, is we could have similar size, say, large intestines and small intestines, but over time, if we eat more protein and fat, we should elongate our small intestine, because at that distal end, the very end of our small intestines, that's where a lot of the protein and fat are absorbed. If we just ate sugar, our small intestines would be very small.
Yeah, like when you look at our digestive tract, it looks a lot more like a wolf than it does to a chimpanzee, even though we're much more closely related to a chimpanzee than a wolf. It's because our diets are so much more similar to a wolf's.
Yep. Yeah, exactly. And this altered gut composition, so very small long intestine, very long small intestine and very small colon, enables better animal food digestion, but hinders plant food absorption. So what happens when humans started eating more plants, and I would argue that happened around like 11,000 years ago, our brain size started to decline. And that was shown at the end of the Ice Age and the subsequent Holocene, which is our current kind of living era. And so our brain started to decline, and that indicates maybe we started eating more plants at the end of the Ice Age because we killed off all the megafauna. And that's what the kind of the archaeological evidence shows, is we went around, we killed everything. And once we killed all the animals, all that was left was plants. So once humans were forced to eat more plants, our brain started to decrease in size. And it's really simple why this happens. Again, if you know anything about nutrition, it's because animals are more nutrient dense. Eating predominantly animal foods provides generous amounts of bioavailable essential nutrients needed for our brains to work optimally and grow. Nutrients such as cholesterol, zinc, heme iron, vitamin B12, long chain omega-3s, and omega-6 fatty acids. All those things you're going to find in animal foods hundreds of times more than plant foods. But when you talk about actual like healthy, quote unquote, healthy foods, none of those nutrients are brought up. People will talk about vitamin C, people will talk about calcium, but they'll never talk about zinc or heme iron or B12, right?
Yeah, and honestly, like the vitamin C argument is kind of silly to begin with, because we don't really need that much vitamin C, and there's plenty of vitamin C in fresh meat. One of the biggest problems with the studies today is that the meat that we eat isn't fresh like our ancestors ate, so it's a little bit lower in vitamin C, but you can still get plenty. You don't have like that big of a need of vitamin C.
No, you don't. And again, in a future podcast, we will go into specific nutrients and their availability in meats compared to plants. But I think one of the most important nutrients people never consider, and it's been vilified for years wrongly, is cholesterol. So cholesterol is so important for our growing brains that our babies don't leave it a chance that you'll actually feed them right. Infant brains meet all their cholesterol needs by themselves. They get the building blocks from cholesterol from ketone bodies, with about 30 to 70% of the required carbons being supplied by ketones. So everyone has done the ketogenic diet in some time in their life, and it was as babies. No one ever talks about that, but it's true. And you will find no cholesterol whatsoever in plants. But cholesterol is that important that everyone's been in ketosis. We use ketone bodies as kind of a precursor to cholesterol. So all those nutrients that you only find in animals are very important, and it's one of the reasons why humans have been focusing on animal acquisition for millions of years. Our ancestors knew that animals are more nutrient dense. They didn't need a peer-reviewed paper. They didn't need some, you know, website list ranking the healthiest foods. They could just tell, when I eat a bunch of meat, bigger, stronger, faster, smarter. When I have to force myself to eat these plants, I'm weaker, dumber, and sicker. It was obvious to them, even though it's not obvious to the majority of people today.
Yeah, and there's a lot of evidence that suggests that humans only adapted more plants in like an agricultural-based lifestyle because they were forced to. Like, there's plenty of people today that still live like a hunter-gatherer existence, and they always looked at it as, why would I want to start growing food? That's way more work. Like, it doesn't seem like it's worth it. You're working three times as long for a bunch of crappy, poor-quality food. But pretty much, like, people had to do that to survive. And I don't think anybody chose agriculture. I don't think anybody chose to live, like, more plant-based because they wanted to, because they thought it was a good idea. I think they all were forced into it. It was either that or to die off.
Yeah. And the thing is, once you go down that road of agriculture, it's kind of a vicious cycle. It kind of, I forget the term, but it, what is it, where it just kind of repeats itself? I forget what I'm trying to say here. But once you
I mean, it's like a positive reinforcement.
Because it creates more people. It allows you to increase your population. But once you increase the population, you need more and more food. So you have to grow more and more food. You can never actually, once you go down that road, you can't go back without sacrificing the bulk of your population.
Yeah, it's a positive reinforcement loop. But in this case, it's over something negative.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But yeah, so that's the podcast basically just saying there are a ton of benefits that humans saw a million years ago to hunting animals. They're more nutritious. Our physiology is designed to eat meat. Our guts are literally designed to eat meats. Like Tom said, they're very similar to wolves. They're very similar to lions. They're very similar to hyenas. All these creatures that are eating meat. No one would argue that a lion's supposed to eat meat, but people will argue to the death that humans are supposed to eat meat, even though if we cut us open, our organs are basically the same. We do not have a GI tract like a cow. We do not have a GI tract like a gorilla. Therefore, we should not be eating diets that they eat. If you really think, you know, I've had a conversation with a guy one time who says, like, hey, all food comes from the sun, and, like, grass is basically the genesis of all food. And I was like, and he's like, therefore humans should just eat grass. And I was like, I get what you're saying, you know what I mean? That the sun goes to the grass goes to the cows, we eat the cows. But go ahead, bro, go eat grass all day and see what happens. After a few bites, you'll throw up and you'll eventually just start starve to death.
Yeah, I mean, it just goes back to last week's podcast where we were talking about trophic levels. Well, at the bottom is plants, and plants get their energy from the sun and soil. And then the next level up is herbivores. Herbivores get their energy from plants. And then pretty much everything else lives off of those herbivores, either directly or indirectly. Either you're a carnivore that eats other carnivores, you're a carnivore that eats other herbivores, or you're a carnivore that eats omnivores. Something along those lines.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and just that argument just gets lost on a lot of people. And I think you can thank the media for having a plant-based narrative for the last 50 years. And I guess, yeah, at the end of the day, it's what we're trying to fight against. So, again, this is just a whole series on the caveman diet and why eating meat is what humans are designed to do, why we should do it, and all that stuff. So, next week, I think we'll talk about more about the specific vitamins and minerals. So, just how animals are way more nutrient-dense than plants. And, again, that is undeniable. You cannot argue it because they are just facts. But people still argue it to this day. It blows my mind. But yeah, so tune in next week and we'll talk about that. You can find everything we talked about today on the website. So, TNTWellnessAndNutrition.com. We're on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. So, feel free to reach out anytime.
Yeah, please rate, review, and subscribe on your favorite podcast provider. That's Apple Podcasts, Google Play, SoundCloud, Stitcher, and YouTube. Hope everybody has a happy and healthy week.